It helps me understand why Barr has been so willing to put his own reputation on the line to defend Trump so fiercely in every battle, beginning with the congressional investigation that is likely to end in the president's impeachment. He said, now listen to this, he said, Trump is Barr's imperfect vessel in serving a much higher calls the gospel. Now, as I said before, I am not speaking pro-Trump, anti-Trump, make America great. That is not even in my conversation. I'm looking at something on a much higher level. y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about something at a much higher level, right? Yes, it all ties into the 2300 day prophecy of Daniel 8:14. Absolutely. So y'all understand what's going on here? Barr is, in essence, using Trump to serve a higher cause. Because as long as he can keep Trump in there, Barr can continue to maneuver and do what everything that he's doing to set the stage for what comes next. Y'all stay with me. In this speech, delivered to an invitation-only crowd at Notre Dame, one of the largest and best-known Catholic universities, the Attorney General describes threats to religious freedom. He insisted that the Judeo-Christian moral system of the United States is under siege by modern secularists who were responsible for every sort of social pathology, including drug abuse, rising suicide rates, and legitimacy. Barr did not address the fact. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I'm going to jump back into Revelation. All right. Barr did not address the fact that many of the policies of the Trump administration are strongly opposed by the Vatican. Pope Francis has repeatedly pledged for the United States to open its doors to more refugees, even as Barr has defended policies that turn away or imprison immigrants seeking refugee status at the U.S.-Mexico border, even separating parents from their children. Now, here's something to think about. Here you have the top law guy in America pushing an agenda for the Pope, because that's what he's doing. But then they're saying, well, the Pope is opposed to many of the laws and the policies that the American government is pushing. It's a smoke screen. Hear me. It's a smoke screen. Because what will end up happening, and I'm going to say this, what's going to end up happening, I don't know if it's going to be with Trump or I don't know if it's going to be with the next president, but what's going to end up happening is you are going to see more of a dialogue beginning to take place between the Vatican and America. It's already started when he came and spoke to the United Nations, and then he spoke to a joint session of Congress. Since when does a religious leader speak to a joint session of Congress in America? Well, when you understand that many of our congressmen and congresswomen are Catholic, you can understand what's taking place. It's a smokescreen, because what is being set up is the creation and the development of this so-called mark of the beast, which is going to be nothing more than a resurgence of a merging of church and state. And that's why the lines are being blurred. And this is why, hey Marlene, and this is why everything now runs along the line of patriotism, runs along the lines of nationalism. It runs along those lines. Everything now has the tinge, or at least it has the sound of human rights and civil rights. And we're talking human rights and civil rights when we go outside of America, where in America, civil rights don't even exist anymore. Human rights do not exist for many people. Are you listening to me? But we have the appearance of this going on. And so as America begins to rise and America gets its footing again, so-called, it will cause the world and those that worship to understand the value. Hear me. It's going to come across as values, to understand the values of the gospel, not the Jesus of the Gospels, but the values of the gospel. And in that way, verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. For those who will not conform to these laws, these principles, and they will come across sounding very religious. Remember, that's why I started reading about Roger Williams, the first Baptist, the separatist, who stated in 1636 and 1638 that civil magistrates should have absolutely no say when it comes to things dealing with the first four of the commandments of God. When it comes to how a person worships, the state has no say. When it comes to how a person, how, when, why, where, and who, for that fact, a person worships, the government should have no say in that. Folk, it simply starts with the Muslims. Now, y'all hear me. Y'all hear what I'm saying. Please hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. It starts with the Muslims. But then people say, well, we're a Christian nation. Wait, no, we're not a Christian nation. We're a nation, all right? But it starts with the Muslims. So first, we deny Muslims the right to worship, right? They're first. Then we deny the Buddhists. Then we deny the Confucianists. Then we deny the higher Krishnas. Then we begin and we just whittle our way down. But what happens, beloved, when it comes down to your faith community, because you will not conform to what the state deems as appropriate religion? Have you ever heard of a piece of paper issued by the state that's called a 501c3? If you've ever heard of a 501c3, give me a heart or something. If you ever heard a 501c3, what is a 501c3? A 501c3 is a piece of paper issued by the state that gives you the right to operate and function as a non-profit organization. Not only are you a non-profit organization, but you are tax-free as a church. And churches knock their door down to try to get a 501c3. Why is that? Because now they can get government grants. They can have the government funding their ministry. Do you know how many churches, mega churches, I might add, are actually funded by the government? through their 501c3 status. This is how they're doing their homeless program. This is how they do their feeding program. This is how they set up their child care. This is how they set up their daycare. This is how they set up their youth programs. This is how they set up their unwed mothers' homes. This is how they set all of that up. Why? Because they're getting government money to fund it. It's a 501c3, so they can get grants. However, if you have a 501c3, you cannot evangelize in any of those programs. You will lose your grant. You cannot talk about Jesus in your programs. Wait a minute. We're a church. Our number one commission is to make disciples, right? Teaching them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded us. Right. But if you get that 501c3 money, the very best you can do, you can have some literature out, but you cannot actively evangelize the people that are in your ministry. Why? Because it's government money. And then they turn around and say it's because of the separation of church and state. So you have a decision to make. Do you want to keep getting this money with your 501c3, or do you want to shut those programs down? Do you all see how this is working here? So churches no longer will preach certain things. They no longer will take stands on certain things. Why not? Because they stand in jeopardy of losing that 501c3 status. Now, if you don't believe me, oh yeah, not to mention Sunday services, they will come after your pulpit because that's what's coming up around the corner. See, so if you know, you see, that's coming around the corner real quick, because see, all of these folk who do not go along with these systems and stuff that was handed down from Rome, and y'all got all them little funny beliefs like keeping the Sabbath and all that stuff like that there, y'all a threat. Y'all terrorists, right? Y'all are terrorists. I'm just saying, right? So all of this stuff is going on, right? All of it's going on, and it's going on right up under our nose. Now, here's the thing. Because we're not aware of it, why aren't we aware of it? Why aren't believers more conscious of these tactics of the enemy? So we're talking about we're waging warfare, right? What are we fighting? What, our idea of spiritual warfare is trying to bind the devil over our money. That's our idea, right? All of this stuff that has come down, right? All of this stuff that has come down. And yes, they are consistently being seduced by the system. Now, let me give you one other passage of scripture here. Revelation chapter 17. And the scripture says this. Because now, what the enemy has done, he has managed to pull together this unholy alliance with him, the first beast, and the second beast. The second beast is actually referred to elsewhere as the false prophet, right? But in Revelation chapter 17, it says this: there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come here, I'm going to show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now, what are waters? Waters represent peoples. So this great whore, and remember, when we talk about women in biblical prophecy, we're basically talking about a church. The first time we see the mention of a woman, she was clothed in white. That was the church, Revelation chapter 12. But as things go on and the Antichrist system begins to work, before you know it, what people are perceiving as the church is nothing more than the whore of Babylon. She's a whore, and she's riding upon many waters. She's sitting on the backs of many people. And it says that the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Listen, beloved, it's no accident that Catholicism is regaining the prominence that it has in the world. It's no secret. It's no mystery why, you know, you have the patriarch of the Eastern Orthodox Church meeting with the Pope of Rome, and what are they saying? What are they saying? We're going to heal this wound that we have. This is in their literature, right? Sitting on the backs of all of these people, the kings of the earth, all of the politicians, they commit fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Do you know what the wine of fornication is? It's not just talking about sexual sin. The wine of the fornication is the teaching. It's the doctrine. Jesus talks about giving his people new wine. No man puts new wine in an old skin. It'll burst the skin, but new wine is put into a new skin, right? And that new wine is the fresh teaching of his word. It's the fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. But the mystery Babylon, the whore, she's corrupting the earth with false doctrine, with false teaching. It's the Antichrist system. And many people believe it's Christian. It's not Christian. It's Antichrist. Everything that Jesus represented, the papacy stands opposed to. That's why the reformers came in. But now Protestantism is slipping right back into that confusion. That's why it's called Babylon. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast. There's that beast again. So now you've got this prostitute whore. You've got this apostate church. You've got this false church sitting on the beast. That amalgamation of kingdoms and nations that have allied themselves against the Lord and against his Christ. Yes, Protestant churches are slipping into the abyss. There's no doubt about it. Now watch. He carried me away in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. That's the same thing that the beast of Revelation chapter 13 had. If you go back and read it, this beast stood upon the sand, and a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his head ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. It reemerges in Revelation chapter 17, same beast, but this time there's a woman sitting on it. That's the apostate church system. Everybody wants to know what Babylon is. That is what Babylon is. Babylon is the apostate churches, apostate Catholicism, and the kings of the earth that have aligned themselves against the Lord and against his Christ. That, beloved, is what we know as the one world government. It's the church and civil power joined together, oppressing the people so that they cannot worship the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Y'all stay with me. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So you see, we have a couple of things that we're going to have to be dealing with in these days in which we live. We have identified that this second beast that's coming up out of the earth is none other than the great US of A. And we're seeing how that separation of church and state is being dwindled down. We're seeing how that system, the apostate Catholic system, has whittled its way into our politics. It has whittled its way into our schools of theology. It has whittled its way into our educational system. They're educating our children. And the church, by and large, is asleep while all of this is happening. We're asleep. We have no idea what's taking place. But then we want to wonder why there are so many preachers who don't preach the gospel anymore because they're apostate. We want to wonder why people can go to seminary and come out and don't believe anything. That's because they're being taught by Jesuits. They're being taught by people. They're being taught by people who have been assigned by the enemy to dilute the power of the gospel because they're trying to reverse the effect of the Reformation. See, the power of the Reformation, beloved, if I can speak for just a moment, the power of the Reformation is that it put the word of God in the hands of all people. That's the power of the Reformation, that you can open your Bible and you can have the Holy Spirit teach you the sincere word of God. You don't need a priest. Now hear me. You don't need a priest, because remember in that system, you had to have a priest, you got to have a bishop, you got to have a cardinal, because only the church can interpret the word of God. So you have to have a priest, you got to have a cardinal, you got to have a bishop. And when the Reformation came along, it's like, oh, no. Anybody can understand the word of God. Anybody can understand the word of God. And so it went through the translations, and the word of God was put into the hands of the common person, so they called us, right? Now, anybody can open up the word of God, and God can speak. God can give them understanding. God can give them revelation. They don't need a priest. They don't need a bishop. They don't need a cardinal to interpret the word of God. They don't have to go to a priest to get their prayers heard. They don't have to go through Mary to get an answer to prayer. They don't have to go to a saint to get their prayers access to God. They have direct access to God. Now, let me show you how Protestantism has been perverted by those same ideas. You don't need a prophet to hear from God. You can hear from God for yourself. You don't need a pastor to interpret the word of God. Does God use apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Absolutely. I am one. I am a teacher. So yes, God uses us to build up the body of Christ, but he doesn't use us to stand instead of Christ. He doesn't use us to stand in between the people of God and the Lord Jesus. See, anyone who stands in between or attempts to stand in between the people and the Lord Jesus, they have the Antichrist spirit. That's what the Antichrist spirit is. It wants to set itself in between the people and Jesus. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? And this stuff has flooded Protestantism, beloved. I'm serious. It's flooded Protestantism. And this is what, you know, a lot of the rash, and I believe in prophets. I know many, many of you have prophetic gifts. Many of you are prophets and prophetesses. Many of you. I know people who operate apostolically. I'm not talking about the balance aspect of the gift. I'm talking about the perversion that's coming in through Babylon. I'm talking about the false fire that the beast makes come down out of heaven. I'm talking about the false signs and wonders and miracles. Yes, it's all over the charismatic movement. You got to have a prophet to hear from God. If you want to get a word from God, you got to go to the prophet, right? You know, a word from the prophet a day of which you have to pay, right? You got to get a prophet. You got to get a word from a prophet every day, and then you got to pay him. That, beloved, is not God. That's the Antichrist system. That's Babylon. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is Revelation 13 unfolding. Who? Yeah, you need a healing, find the evangelist. No, I got a, here's a good idea. You need a healing, receive your healing from the Lord Jesus. There you go. Try that one on for size. The power and the beauty of the Reformation was God put his word in our hands. And we can go to him in prayer and he'll speak. That's the power of the Reformation. That's the power. That's the power, beloved. And the body of Christ living in the day in which we live, we are right around the corner. We are right around the corner from where we're going to see very subtle shifts begin to happen in our politics. But it's going to come in under the guise of the Judeo-Christian ethic. It's going to come under the guise of morals. It's going to come under the guise of values. But it's going to be a deception. And you're going to have to know the word of God. You're going to have to understand what's really taking place prophetically, or you stand to be deceived. Because the remnant is going to go under persecution, because the remnant will not bow. The remnant will not bow. It's like a buzz in the air. Think about this. This is why there's so much. Have you all been hearing this term being tossed around in the media that America is facing a constitutional crisis? Have y'all been hearing that term? A constitutional crisis. Have you all been hearing that? what that's going to do, that's really going to begin to rally the patriotism, and it's going to come out of the far right evangelical church, I might add, right? Right? Is going to be rallying to bring people back to what they call bring people back to the foundations of this nation. But folk, listen to me. The foundations of the nation, we've already established what they were. The difference is the agendas that are being put forth are not being put forth by the goodwill of Protestant reformers anymore. They're being put forth by individuals who have been selectively trained, equipped, and positioned by the papacy to control this nation. This once was a Protestant nation. That's what they call it, Protestant America. Not anymore. It's been infiltrated. It's been infiltrated. It's been infiltrated. But God has a remnant. God has a remnant. You're part of that remnant. God has a people who's not asleep. You're not asleep. You get it. Yeah. Yeah. You could say that we're going in reverse now. Well, the world's going. Yeah. The world is going in reverse, but the body of Christ is moving forward. See, the enemy is still trying to have what he was after in Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11. They're still trying to build Babylon, this one world system. But God's people, and this is why the call for God's people is that Babylon is fallen. It's fallen. Come out of her, my people. And it's not just coming in the guise of Satanists and Luciferians and witches and warlocks and all of that. It's really coming with Satan masquerading himself as an angel of light, and he's sending forth ministers who proclaim to be ministers of righteousness. Satan is not coming as the devil. Satan is coming as if he is Jesus. And if you listen to the Pope, he believes he is the vicar of Christ on earth. He believes he stands in the place of Christ. But my Bible tells me it's the Holy Spirit who is here in the stead and in the place of Christ. Are you listening? So, and I know this was kind of scattered abroad, right? And as I said, I don't know how I'm going to get through this because there's so much in there. And I'm pulling a piece from here and a piece from there and a piece from here. But this is why I'm so committed now to really dealing with the books of Daniel and the book of Revelation, because these books unlock where we are in time. Right, these books. Now, if you have any questions or comments about anything that I shared, or you like additional information, send me an email. Right, send me an email. I think my email is in my bio. I'll double check when I'm over. Right, I'll send back. But I'm going to be putting some studies together on the book of Daniel and on the book of Revelation. And I don't know. I may even do some Zoom teachings. Would y'all be interested in attending some Zoom sessions where we can just kind of like get together in kind of like smaller groups and plug in and really go through these books? Because I believe it's absolutely necessary that we understand this. I do. And the more I see what's happening in our politics, the more I see what's happening in our religious systems, it just lets me know, right? Yeah, we do. We still need to vote. Yeah. Yeah, we still need to vote. I ain't saying don't vote, right? I'm just saying vote with your eyes open. Thank you. My email's in my bio. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just saying vote with your eyes open. That's all I'm saying. We still got to vote, right? But we need to know what's taking place, right? Babylon is falling. God has a remnant people. Hallelujah. You're part of that remnant. That's the only reason y'all can sit and listen to me. I tell you now, because if you weren't part of the remnant, you'd have clocked out about 3 hours, you know, an hour and a half ago, right? No, not at all. Not at all. Mm-mm. No, because, I mean, I don't support abortion. Here's what I'm saying. Okay, and I'm glad you brought it up. Here's what I'm saying. I don't support abortion, right? But, at what point does it end? Right? And in other words, this is what I'm saying. This is what makes the conversation difficult, right? Because we automatically click into categories, right? Say, well, if I vote conservative, then I'm voting against this. Does that mean I'm voting for the papacy? No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. This is what I'm saying. When we begin to vote the Christian agenda into law, this is what I'm saying, all right? And Autumn hit it, that's good. When we begin to vote Christian principles into law, right? Once we do that, where does it stop? Because now we're in a position where the church can make decrees and the civil government has the power to enforce the church's law. This is what I'm saying. Does that make sense?